Friday, 21st of June, 2024, the longest day of the year. Good morning. Another episode of Smashy Business Show. I'm Richard Fitzgerald.
And I'm Sandra Mam.
Good morning, Sandra.
New host.
New host, new day, everything new. Today, we're going to be talking about Emirates Group. They announced their 23 results. Big numbers, as always, with Emirates. Huge story. Love talking about them. Another topic of conversation, often for many different reasons, is influencers. This time there's fines in Abu Dhabi. We'll dig deep into that. And another Abu Dhabi related story, but in the environmental space, we're talking about Mazda buying a stake in a Greek energy company. So how are you feeling? Let me ask you a question, Sandra. What's your favorite topic when you're writing about business? Like, what if you had to read a book, if you had to look at business, do you like the stock markets? Do you like the environment? Do you like entrepreneurial stories?
Entrepreneurial stories.
What's entrepreneur do you like? Is it a tech entrepreneur or?
Not tech, no.
No.
I like when like influencers or like, like Anas Bokhashra, for example,
okay.
He's a huge entrepreneur. I really like listening to his AB Talks episodes. He's like a very inspirational person.
And his AB Talks is more about the guests as well, but
yeah.
Do you appreciate him as an entrepreneur and a business person?
Him as an entrepreneur. His story is very inspirational to me.
What has he kind of done that you said, oh, that was really smart?
His questions. Like, how are you really doing? I think that's like a huge thing in social media right now. And the Egyptian community turned it into a meme. I love like when something like so inspirational turned into like also a meme route. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So even Egyptian community in Dubai, but maybe you grew up in Dubai,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So so he is appealing to all different.
100%.
And so I'll ask you Anas's question this Friday morning, longest day of the year, Sandra. How are you really doing?
Wow, I like that twist. Nice twist, honestly. But at least it's on a Friday, you know? It's on the weekend, longest day of the year. It's on a weekend, thank God, it's on, like during the week.
Alhamdulillah, you can get to rest.
Exactly, cool. We need that rest.
If you had a business idea, if you had to, we've Shark Tank Masterminds coming on the show later. If you had to pitch to them, what would it be?
Oof. That's a hard question, Rich. That's a really hard question. You can't put me on the spot.
I won't put you on the spot.
I need some thoughts.
Do you know what? We're going to jump into the stories.
Okay.
But in 14 and a half minutes time, I'm going to come back to you.
Oh!
It can be open a restaurant. It could be something simple. It could be build a media company. It could
okay,
be something
stay
simple.
Tuned.
But
stay
I think
tuned
you, I have faith in you. I think you're going to blow us all the way. And maybe get investments from these guys.
Hmm.
Never know. Catch them on the way out. Pitch
I
them
will.
An idea.
I will. I need some money.
So all right. Let's jump in. Emirates, what have we got?
Emirates generates $37 billion in revenue, transforming Dubai into a leading Dubai global airport. This is such like a cute and powerful story, because Sheikh Mohammed said that establishing an airline company in Dubai was a dream more than four decades ago.
Mm.
And now it happened. He said that some people bet against the dream, and many tried to distract them from the actual dream.
True.
However, today, Emirates Airlines, being the powerful airline that it is, it employs over 112,000 people.
Mm.
It connects with 277 cities, and it transports more than 50 million passengers annually. That's big numbers.
Huge, isn't it?
Huge.
And the headline figure yesterday from 23 was $37 billion in annual revenues. They started with two lease aircrafts in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
When I was born, Emirates Airline didn't exist,
mm.
you know? So, like, it's not, you know, the air industry was set up by the Wright brothers about 100 years ago. These guys didn't start early, you know? They didn't reinvent anything. They just up the level of service, and they built it in a city here. It's amazing, really. It's an amazing story. I think the numbers as well are super impressive because, you know the way some people say, and we'll talk about it with the guys later, but you know the way some people say, hey, you can't make profit in that industry, or you can't make margins in that industry? Because many countries around the world, airlines are dying. You know, British Airways are in trouble. Lufthansa in Germany is in trouble. Alitalia went out of business. Our national carrier in Ireland, Aer Lingus, is in trouble. Many parts of the world, airlines are in trouble. And then you've got $37 billion of revenue.
Yeah.
How do they do it?
It's Dubai.
It's Dubai.
Don't question Dubai.
don't doubt Dubai.
They're always on top of the game, to be honest. And they're still dreaming of expanding the business even more, which is very impressive. Nothing can stop these people.
They really are. And they announced recently they're going to, DXB is going to be moving out to World Central. Yeah. And I heard that the property prices since that announcement in World Central went up a significant percentage.
Yeah.
It is fascinating. I love those numbers when I see it's the most... we cover in Love in Dubai a lot, but in Smashy Business, we go into the details a bit more. But when I see how many passengers pass through, not only is it an airline generating profit, DXB Airports is a separate entity, mm-hmm. and you're talking about close to 100 million passengers. I think it's about 80 or so. Mm-hmm. And the ones who stay in are about 20 million tourists a year. So there's so many knock-on effects. We obviously are in the media industry, and I was quite vocal recently about having... leaders and companies in this industry that lifts everything else up. Yeah. The Emirates Airline lifts everything up. It lifts the tourism, it fills the hotels.
Yeah.
It makes people want to have their conferences here, 100%. Have their events here, makes people want to do many things here. And it carries everything with it. Mm-hmm. And in advertising and media, we don't have something at the moment. We have global tech companies who are here who extract the cash. And, they provide commercial jobs on the ground, but nothing else.
Mm.
And if we had an Emirates in the media sector, like they had in the past, how much else would that lift everything up?
Yeah.
We have property developers that lift everything up. Retail sector, now like fashion brands, why don't we have something like this? So I think people should really be grateful and thankful to what Emirates has done, because the knock-on effect is incredible.
100%.
Naysayers in the region, naysayers of the region will say, that's just an oil thing. When the money runs out, when the oil runs out, there's nothing, it's just a desert.
Mm.
But actually...
That's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true. We know that, Sandra.
It's not.
We know that. And you, our listeners, know that.
It's not
but
true.
But that's it. No one else knows that. But you, us too, and our listeners.
Yep. Exclusive.
Exclusive. Next up.
Jumping into our next story, Abu Dhabi mandates
$720.
Yeah. Fines.
That's the number.
And business closures for unlicensed influencer ads.
Yeah.
So the Abu Dhabi Department of Economic Development requires licensed establishments and social media influencers to obtain a license for advertising services starting July 1st. Penalties and fines for non-compliance will begin in early July, reaching up to 10,000 dirhams, and may include business closures.
Business closures, TikTok, July 1st. Are you ready, influencers?
Are you ready?
A magazine in UAE, Arabian Business, did a headline yesterday, "Is the influencer bubble about to burst?" So there's always influencer chat. This one, I love regulation. I shouldn't, because it sometimes stifled business, but I just like it because, 10 years ago they were talking about social media, now they're talking about influencers. Influencers are a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's potentially hundreds of million dollars, although not fully recorded in the region. It's a real thing. And so I like regulation. It also, people will say, hey, I have to pay a fee now as an influencer, but actually it establishes you as a business.
100%.
This is Sandra, Abu Dhabi Department of Economic Development. So often when things come out of Abu Dhabi, we don't know if it's for the Emirates or federal for the country. So we do think this one is specifically, it mentions it's for the Emirates. So it's not necessarily Dubai influencers right now, but there are other regulations in place, and there are easy licenses to get.
Mm-hmm.
There's freelance licenses. There's easy ways to go about this.
Yeah.
So the advice would be get your license.
Just
don't
be
get
on
fined.
The safe side.
Yeah.
Don't get fined. You don't want to do that to yourself. Do you get influenced by influencers?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do?
I think word of mouth goes way back in marketing, and if you word of mouth, it's the most. Marketing is about persuasion, and hearing it from the horse's mouth or from an influencer's mouth, hearing it from a person you know and trust, and the way that influencers communicate is in a relatable way. We do feel like we have a connection with
100%,
them. If Anas Bukash told you to invest in a salon, would you do it?
I would do that, no hesitation.
No questions asked.
No questions asked. Anas said so, let's do it.
Okay, if a billboard in Sheikh Zayed Road asked you to do it, nope.
Not good enough for me.
No, I think I'm with you too. I think I'm with you too. I might ask Anas some questions though.
Oh? And us
mainly because I don't know salads. But yeah, so this is a development in Abu Dhabi, and there are fines. And yeah, look, like, you know, when there's fines and everything, it sounds like it's stopping stuff, but actually, it does. It incentivizes. It brings an industry forward. Mm-hmm. It puts the influencer conversation at the media. Into the framework, into the discussion.
Yeah, 100%.
So let's watch out for that. I don't know. Do you think we're going to be hearing about influencers fined?
No, I don't think. No.
No.
No, I think they'd always, like, who would want to get fined like such a big number? Just be on the safe side.
So they won't break the rule,
no.
Or you don't think? Yeah,
because I don't think they would.
You know what often happens when they introduce a rule, and if people aren't obeying it, they usually announce who doesn't do it.
Yeah, as they give us the numbers.
Yeah, and they kind of like name and shame a little bit, don't they? Like just to give everyone an example. That's another way to persuade people to do so.
Yeah.
Casey, were you on the show this morning with Casey?
No, I was.
Who was on the show?
Raneem.
So Raneem and Casey did the show this morning on Love in Dubai, and they talked about this, and they were sort of saying, well, what is a post? Like, if you do a restaurant review that you like food and you're not paid, are you going to get fined? But maybe it's not paid. Maybe you're actually paying for the food, you know? So there is some ambiguity here.
Yeah.
But, you know, the general sort of advertising guidelines, if, you know, not to deceive customers. If you're receiving a gift or if you're paid for a post, you have to declare. So, you know, this is why TV was always clear, because everyone knew that they were called infomercials. Mm. The commercials would come up and everyone knew what was editorial and what was commercial. But in social media, it's often murky. So we do need these guidelines.
Yeah. These people need to, like, realize how powerful they are to, like, the community, because they always have to, like, be transparent.
Yeah.
They've got some power there,
yeah.
Especially nowadays. And it keeps getting way more powerful each day.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it. Watch the fines for.
Yep.
Let's move on to our third story. You know, the hosts that usually do these shows have nice little segues. Can you think of any segue from influencer in Abu Dhabi to environmental in Masdar? The common connection is Abu Dhabi, right? So let's go with that one.
Yeah. Speaking of Abu Dhabi,
lovely.
Masdar to acquire Greece's Terna Energy in $3.4 billion deal. Masdar has signed an agreement to acquire Greece's Terna Energy, and the enterprise value of the deal is 3.2 billion euros or $3.43 billion. Masdar aims to reach a renewable power generation capacity of 100 gigawatts by 2030. Masdar will initially acquire 67% of Terna's outstanding shares at the completion of the transaction. They will then launch an all-cash mandatory tender offer to acquire the remaining shares.
Yeah, fascinating. Look, I love this for many, many reasons.
Why?
Why? So it's a big number.
$3 billion
is a big number. And, you know, we as in this region, is investing in other countries' energy, right? So the power is here, right? Like, Abu Dhabi's investing in Greece in energy. You know, we see lots of investment we've talked on before, and we can maybe chat with the guys as well when they come on. But, you know, UAE's investing in Ras Al Hekmat in Egypt.
Yeah.
There's lots of other developments. Hamad Al Abar has developments in Latvia, in Riga, the capital of Latvia. You know, at Masdar, you know, people have said that chats in boardrooms and on companies about ESG, you know, especially the environmental part of it, social and governance, has just been for PR, but actually you see the diversification in energy, you see the things, and Masdar is a global leader in renewable energy. It started in 2006, so it's nearly 20 years old, with projects in 40 countries across 6 continents. You know what this reminds me of? DP World. DP World isn't just the port in Dubai, it's also got ports and shipping areas all over Africa, all over the world. So Masdar, people think of it, where is that in Abu Dhabi? Do I pass it on the way down there? But actually, 40 countries, 6 continents, their primary solar, wind, energy, waste energy, you know, geothermal energy, fascinating things, green hydrogen. People smarter than me will tell me that that's a key word in the future of energy. urban development, developing Masdar City. So practicing as you preach, like having a city there. We have sustainable city in Dubai, they have Masdar City in Abu Dhabi, and then clean tech solutions. You know, a lot of when the chat around AI and the chat about Bitcoin is like, are these farms and data centers actually bad for the environment, you know? So they want to do clean energy. The company is unites three major UAE entities, Mubadala, ADNOC, and TAQA as well. So there's a lot going on there. They have the Zayed Sustainability Prize, Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, and of course, they make big investments. Mm-hmm.
And this is the largest energy transaction on the Athens Stock Exchange, according to Terna.
Fascinating. Well done. Cool. Right, before we bring on our esteemed guest, Ahmed Luxor, and potentially, yes, we're having Amr Mansi on as well, I see in the teleprompter. We've got two good guests. I can't wait to chat to them. Before I chat to them and say goodbye to you, what's your business idea?
Oh, I was hoping you'd forget, Richard.
Never forget.
What's my business idea? I feel like you can never go wrong with a restaurant, even though we have a lot of them in Dubai, but I feel like each one has its own, like, success story.
Okay, what's the cuisine?
Cuisine, Egyptian. You can never go wrong with an Egyptian cuisine.
What's the name?
A Touch of Cairo.
A Touch of Cairo, this is nice.
Shout out to Love in Cairo.
I went to an Egyptian restaurant over Eid, Hadouda
Masraya. Oh, Hadouda Masraya, I love this restaurant.
Oh my God, it's so good. Dunia, the lady, the founder, came over and chatted to us, and Sandra, it was packed.
Of course it is. It's Hadouda Masraya. This is like the best Egyptian restaurant in Dubai.
And Hatem Matar had he's a well-known chef in Dubai, and he had a three-course special that sold out. But yeah, so you'd be competing with them, but I believe in you.
It's a hard competition.
Touch of Cairo in Dubai?
Stay tuned.
First of July?
Oh, first of July. Maybe. I don't have a lot of time, but sure.
2025. Okay. Cool.
I'll pitch it to the Shark Tank guys over there.
Yeah, don't quit the day job though.
I will not. I'll be multitasking.
All right, lovely. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you, Richard.